Got a reporter live on the scene in Las Vegas, Todd Furman, reporting in.
I'm reporting from my home office, more intently watching the World Cup semifinal than worried about where LeBron is going to take his talent.
Oh,
but if betting markets are any indication, guys, the Cavaliers look to be the front runner. Most current odds, you'd have to put up $2.80 to make a buck coming back if you think he goes to Cleveland. 2-1 on your money if he goes anywhere else.
Come on, Todd. I figured you'd be at the gym where he's got that camp going on.
You know, if they saw this story. They saw my jump shot. They'd know I found a way to sneak in, and they'd kick me out about as quickly as I got there.
So Vegas, has that changed dramatically today?
The odds have moved around all over the place. You're talking about real low limits, and these are offshore books. So you can't bet any of this stuff here in Vegas, unfortunately. The bigger move has been on the Cleveland Cavaliers' odds to win the NBA championship. And if you look at the LVH, they opened the Cavs at 60-1 when that market first opened. They were down to 30-1 over the weekend. Price reduced all the way down at this point. You're talking about 12-1. And some offshore books are as low as 4-1 right now, making them the favorite to win the NBA title.
Well, yeah, so we talked about this as the show began, that, you know, it made sense for Cleveland to try to acquire Kevin Love and maybe toss out Wiggins, their number one pick, the number one overall pick this year in some draft picks. So if Love would go to Cleveland and LeBron would go to Cleveland with Kyrie Irving and the pieces that they have, I mean, that would dramatically change things as well, right?
Oh, for sure. You're talking about adding a player like Kevin Love to LeBron and Kyrie. You have three of the top 10 players in the entire NBA. And their number, in my opinion, if that was the case, would be actually shorter than what Miami was to open the season last year. And that was a shade over 2-1. I'd actually make Cleveland with those three. Now, of course, depending on what they added for other supporting cast, I'd make them as low as 3-2, assuming the chemistry was there and those guys could all coexist, share the basketball. It would give them the most dynamic trio, even more so than what we saw in Miami with Dwayne Wade, Chris Bosh, and LeBron.
At 3HL1045 on Twitter. Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas, talking point spreads and all that stuff every Wednesday at 4:30 with us now on 3HL. Clay?
Todd, give you credit here because you've been telling people that the play, if you were really thinking about it, was to go ahead and try to get Cavs future odds. How much exposure do you think sports books have in that 30-1 type range where the Cavs are, you know, not a very good team without LeBron? Suddenly they could go from literally the outhouse to the penthouse here.
There are a couple books right now that have said they're in pretty good shape. Now, some of them pulled the odds about 3 weeks ago, so liability not really in the equation there. It'll be real interesting to pick the guys' brains down at the LVH. They've remained steadfast in keeping those numbers up, saying what they would lose in betting handle didn't offset some of the liability they could potentially accrue. I think you're talking about, you know, $250,000 liability. You're not seeing huge money coming on Cleveland. It's as much the $20 and $50 better as anything else. The nice part you have, though, with this going on during the summer, Clay, you'll have, you know, the better part of 11 months to try and get off of that figure. And what that'll do is it'll create value everywhere else in the market. So for anybody who's inclined to bet a team from the West, you're going to get the Spurs at an advantageous price. And that's going to be the real telltale sign in terms of what the books took on for Cleveland if LeBron does make that his final destination.
LeBron's the most valuable player in the NBA. Is Peyton Manning the most valuable player right now in the NFL still?
Yep, he's right up there along with Aaron Rodgers. You look at what's behind both of those players, Peyton in Denver and Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. There's just not a whole lot there. Brock Osweiler's not going to take the Broncos to those heights. You're looking at Peyton at this point in his career, about a 7, 7.5 point player. As we saw in Green Bay last year, though, Rodgers was about the same way. But you look at the Packers' performance on the field, and Rodgers wasn't out there. A lot of talk among some of the odds makers and the professional bettors that Rodgers may actually be slightly more valuable in that 8, 8.5 range.
How shocked were you by yesterday's 7-1 loss, Brazil to Germany? And put it into context from a gambling perspective, what Vegas would have thought of the likelihood of a game like that happening?
Well, considering I gave out the under in that game,
yes,
it should tell you exactly where I thought that particular game was going to go. And I know there was comparisons made across sports. They talked about a 7-1 decision in a semifinal like that being equivalent to a 58-point blowout in the NBA. And to put it in historical context, you've only seen that happen once in the postseason. I think what's more telling is when you look at some of the betting markets, there were props out there, 28-1, that Germany would win by more than 4 goals. But typically one of the more popular markets is the exact final score. There wasn't a market anywhere facing North American customers that had a score line higher than Germany winning that thing 6-1. And that price would have gone off at 250-1. So that really tells you how improbable that was. Did see one of the smaller books in Europe actually have a prop. Germany wins the game 7-1, and Sami Khedira scores a goal. Payout on that north of 4,000-1.
Oh, my God.
Todd
right.
Herman, our guy in Vegas. Sorry, go.
We're listening to the net or watching the Netherlands and Argentina right now. Spoiler alert here if you're watching it. There's about 80 minutes in, no score. What are the live odds in this game? And I know Argentina was the favorite. Has that changed at all? Anything varied as this game has progressed?
Right now, if you're looking at live odds, and these are all regulation-based only, if you think Argentina finds a way to score in the next 11 minutes of regulation and or stoppage time, that'll pay you out at 4-1. The Netherlands, a 7-1 underdog in this spot. If you think it ends in a draw, obviously the most likely scenario here, that's a $3 favorite. And the over-under right now, Clay, a half a goal. But if you want to go under a half a goal here, you have to put up nearly $3 just to win a dollar coming back. So betting markets indicating that we are headed for extra time. But if there's one thing we've come to count on from the Dutch in three of their games, they love to score late and try and spoil all the parties before things get in extra time.
3HL powered by the Tennessee Lottery. Todd Furman, our guy in Vegas, with us. Get him on Twitter with specific questions anytime at Todd Furman.
Well, Todd, we talked about the extra minutes here. Who do you have in the finals and who do you have favored to win it?
I really believed it was going to be Argentina and Brazil. I was as shocked as anybody with the Brazilian effort yesterday. You watch the first 10 minutes playing. They looked like they were going to compete and then kind of unraveled after they gave up that early goal to Thomas Müller off the set piece. I think Argentina against Germany makes for a real compelling final when you talk about the two most powerful soccer federations in UEFA against CONMEBOL. But bookmakers going to be in a real difficult spot when you consider the public perception of how good Germany is off that 7-1 thrashing. I think you'll see Germany open a slight favorite against Argentina with a total of 2.5 and a much more pronounced favorite in regulation against the Dutch. Germany may be clicking on all cylinders and finally showing that elite potential we thought we'd saw earlier. But for Team USA supporters, we have to be a little optimistic. Only losing 1-0 to Germany now all of a sudden doesn't look so bad.
Well, we're all beholden to LeBron James making his decision in the NBA, but who is favored to be the MVP of the NBA next year? Does that also mean LeBron is favored to win the MVP?
Yeah, LeBron will end up being the favorite there. Obviously, going to depend on where he lands and what else he has for supporting cast. But you look at LeBron right in that 3-2 range to be MVP, regardless of if he's in Miami or Cleveland. And then, of course, it'll be the normal suspects right behind him, the likes of Kevin Durant. And then you're going to have to see how the rest of free agency shakes out. If Carmelo were to end up in Chicago, Melo's odds would be pronouncedly different than if he ends up in New York, where he's got to be the only guy capable of carrying that franchise.
Well, you talked about Peyton Manning and Aaron Rodgers being, the difference maker in, 7-8 points per game. Is there any new, young, and up-and-coming quarterback, Kaepernick or anybody else, closing the ranks of probably being the MVP and being the big difference for their team like that?
You won't find anybody in that range. I mean, you're talking about Hall of Fame quarterbacks in the likes of Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning. Kaepernick's value continues to increase, though. You're looking at him being about a 3.5 to 4 point player just because so much of the offense in San Francisco is built around what he can do. Eli Manning for years, was mentioned in that similar breath. So much of it, though, Blaine, depends on what teams have in the backup quarterback position. That really becomes the key determinant in what one player's absence actually means to the point spread. And as we talk about other position players, the only running back right now who's probably valued at over 1 point to the number, Adrian Peterson, he's still in that 1.5 to 2 point range.
All right, we got the Major League Baseball All-Star Game coming up here pretty soon. Who's going to win the home run derby? We got some prop bets there as well as the MVP.
You haven't had any prop bets come out on the home run derby yet, but Yoenis Cespedes has to be considered among the favorites to repeat. But Mike Stanton is going to make Giancarlo Stanton, a real intriguing choice when you look at his overall power numbers. Of course, Edwin Encarnacion going on the DL changes things a little bit for the American League. As far as what the number is going to look like for that particular game, you're going to see a total open in that 7 to 7.5 range, although the American League staff was dealt a bit of a blow today, even if he was going to get innings. Masahiro Tanaka, the talented Japanese import for the Yankees, sent to the 15-day DL with some discomfort in his elbow.
Mike Fisher out 4 to 6 months. Pred signed James Neal, Jokinen as well. What do you think about their futures?
Actually, I've seen their numbers come down a little bit. They were in that 75-1 range. Some books have lowered them to 50. I think that's a little bit more optimistic. Was surprised to see Colorado, after some of their signings, actually have their number come up from 16 to 18. That's more or less my pick right now to come out of the West. I think, though, the biggest news, Brent, when you talk about the NHL, the Blackhawks locking up their two superstars, Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews, the 8-year deals will make them extremely formidable for years to come.
No doubt about it, unfortunately. But fun to watch over at Bridgestone. Thanks, Todd.
Always a pleasure, guys.
Thank you. 737-1045, you want in. Todd Furman, you get him on Twitter, at Todd Furman.